was sitting in my office this week looking at the lectionary from which I usually select the weekly scripture. Some weeks the lectionary is amazing. Sometimes I look at the lectionary and there's four or five pieces of scripture that leap off the page and I think, I could preach on that, I could preach on that, I could preach on that. And this was not one of those weeks. So I thought I'd look at the news instead. So I was reading the news. Baylor University put out their list this week of the 10 most influential preachers of 2018. I thought, ooh, I'll look at that story. They had a list of all the preachers that are on their list, and they had links you could click on, and you could see sermons of theirs that were like on YouTube. So I clicked on one of them, the Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III, the senior pastor of Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. I watched a sermon of his on this scripture, 1 through 16, called When the Brook Runs Dry. I encourage you to look it up. It was inspiring. As I sat there and listened to it in my office, I listened to the whole thing. It was 30, 40 minutes long. I was inspired. I was motivated. So I took his scripture and I said, I'm going to use that scripture this week, because that's much better than the stuff that the lectionary was giving me. Parts of this sermon obviously were influenced by what I heard Dr. Moss preach about. I have not copied him entirely, but certainly there are parts that will look familiar if you listen to him. So I give you that caveat. There's a lot going on in these 16 verses in 1 Kings 17 today. Elijah shows up on the scene and says, Lord, where do you need me? He comes at a time when many of the people in Israel are turning from God, are turning away from God. But Elijah, without any fanfare, without really any introduction, shows up and says, here I am, Lord, send me. And God says, excellent, I'm glad you're here. I want you to go down to the valley. Actually, what he says is, go from here. Turn eastwards, hide yourself by the Wadi. Kereth? Jackie looked it up. Wadi is the important word. But the Wadi Kereth, which is east of the Jordan. The wadi is a stream. A wadi is a stream or a brook. Right? It's a very small stream. It runs through a flat piece of the land in the valley east of the Jordan. That's where Elijah is sent first. Elijah says, Lord, here I am. Where shall I go? And God says, go down to the valley. I think oftentimes we offer ourselves up to God. We said, God, where do you need me? Where can I help? Where shall I go? And I think when we ask that question, oftentimes, at least for me, I know, in my head, I have an answer I'm hoping for. Right? Lord, send me wherever, but especially over there. Right? We want to go serve God, but it'd be easier, Lord, if I got to go up to the mountaintop. I like the mountaintop. The mountaintop's nice. You can send me up there anytime you want. Right? The mountaintop, you have a great view. Right? It's not too hot. Right, Barry? The mountaintop's a pretty nice place to be, isn't it? Air's fresh and clear. You can see for miles and miles. Elijah says, Lord, where do you want to send me? And maybe, just maybe, Elijah's thinking, you could send me to the mountaintop. I mean, look, a lot of people being unfaithful around here, Lord, and here I am being faithful. I'm not saying I deserve to go to the mountaintop, but I notice that it's open. All the same. And God says, thank you, Elijah. Go down to the valley. Elijah came to serve at a time when many are turning away, gives himself up as a selfless act. Maybe he was hoping for the mountaintop, but it doesn't matter because that's not where God needed him. God needed him in the valley. Well, the valley's not as nice as the mountaintop. The valley's hot. Right? It's hot and it's a little sticky down there, but fine. I offer to go. You send me to the valley. So Elijah goes down to the valley. But he goes knowing and trusting that God's going to provide for him while he's in that valley. The valley might not be very nice, but he trusts that God is going to provide for him. You shall drink from the wadi. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the Wadi Kereth, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the wadi. So Elijah goes down to the valley. It's not that nice in the valley, but even here, God is providing that daily bread that we pray for each week. give us this day our daily bread, and poof, there's some ravens with meat and bread that come in the morning and they come in the evening. Notice they're not bringing weekly bread. They're not bringing monthly bread. They're bringing the daily bread that Elijah's going to need. The ravens bring the meat and the bread. Now, I have to imagine that if God had sent Elijah to the mountaintop instead, that he might have picked a more majestic bird to bring the meat and bread. Right? If I'm on the mountaintop, maybe it's the eagles that are going to bring me the bread. Right? Or the condors. Right? Large, majestic birds. Or maybe it would be even a hawk. But no, I'm in the valley. I'm not on the mountaintop. So in the valley, what do I get? I get the ravens. Ugh. A trash bird, if ever there was one. Ravens are loud. They're annoying. They're just ugly, gross birds. I've been out to Yellowstone several times. When you go out to Yellowstone, especially if you have somebody who hasn't been there before, you got to go to see Old Faithful, right? Everybody goes to see Old Faithful. You pull up in the parking lot, and they're in the parking lot to go see what's called the Geyser Basin, where Old Faithful is located. They have ravens, and I'm not exaggerating, they have ravens as tall as emperor penguins. They have 3-foot tall ravens. They are big and noisy, and they will mug you for your ham sandwich. I'm not kidding. I saw a raven pull a gun on somebody. They are just awful birds. Horrible birds, right? They're just, and this is who God picks to bring Elijah meat and bread. I'm always amazed when I read stories in the Bible and we see who God uses to bless others, right? We read the story of Christ's birth, and it's the shepherds who get to witness it first, right? We talk of the empty tomb, and who gets to witness the empty tomb first? It's not the disciples who spent 3 years with Jesus, it's the women, right? Who does Jesus call to himself in his ministry? He calls the children to himself. Elijah gets sent to the valley, and who brings him meat and bread? Trash birds. The ravens, of all things. It's the ravens that God sends. It's amazing to see who God uses. You know, when I look back over the path that I have walked, over the days that I spent in the valley, I realize that more often than not, it was the ravens that blessed me, and very rarely the eagles. The ravens are bringing food morning and evening, and the wadi, the brook, the stream is there to drink from. I got to be honest, it's not too bad for Elijah. Right? Getting a little meat and bread in the morning, a little meat and bread in the evening. He's got the wadi. He can get some water from. He can drink from. Elijah must have thought the same thing. I'm getting some food from those loud, obnoxious trash birds. I've got water from the wadi. It's not bad. It could be worse. How many times have you thought to yourself, it could be worse, and then it got worse? Scripture says after a while the wadi dried up. The wadi, the stream, the brook dried up. We've all been there, right? Serving God, a little jealous. We didn't get sent to the mountaintop, but doing our God thing in the valley. We're making it. It's not perfect, but we're provided for. There's meat, there's bread, there's wadi. Then the wadi dries up. Now what? Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. My wadi dried up. I'm thirsty. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and he said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple sticks so I may go home and prepare it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Every time I think my valley with my dried up wadi is just the worst, it never fails, I run into this widow. Wallowing in my own despair, I find someone whose valley is worse, whose wadi is drier than mine. Elijah is thinking, I didn't even get my trash bird meat today. My wadi just dried up. Things can't get worse. And then he meets this widow who is gathering sticks to make a fire to mix the last of her meal and oil together to make one last small piece of dry, tasteless, crappy bread which she and her son will eat and then die. And Elijah surely realizes, yeah, that's worse. That's your wadi's drier than mine is. But Elijah believes in the providence of God. Elijah believes in the God that provides that daily bread. So Elijah says, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. We talk often of generosity, of giving. We are a structure, an organization built upon generosity. We do not exist without generosity. You give and we exist, and that is how this works. And when times are good, when the wadi is flowing, giving comes easy. When my wallet's full and someone asks for generosity, it's easy to do. But scarcity is another beast altogether. When the wadi is dry and you want what is mine, that's a lot harder. Generosity and scarcity don't get along because scarcity scares us. We're afraid of scarcity. You want to know how afraid of scarcity we are? My wife buys toilet paper in a case this big. That is nothing more than fear of scarcity. Scarcity of Charmin is something you don't want to experience. We're afraid of not having, of missing our daily bread, of having the wadi dry up. And in the midst of that scarcity, to be asked to be generous is hard. But when I look back over the course of our faith together, it is most often those times when we are in the valley, when the wadi has dried up, that God says, I need you now to be generous. That's a tough one, Lord. All we have is this last little bit of meal, this last little splash of oil, and we were going to just eat it and die. And God says, no, not yet, you weren't. I need you to give that last little bit to someone else. I need you to give up what is yours when you have nothing. I need you to trust that I'm the one that gives you your daily bread and give that last morsel away. Giving is easy when the wadi is full, when there is no cost to us, when our generosity comes from abundance. Last year we sold this piece of property behind us over here. The guy that bought it's been developing two houses on it. He's got the foundations dug and poured. A couple of weeks ago, he reached out to us. He said, hey, I'm going to be bringing in some manufactured homes to set on those foundations. It would really be a lot easier if I could go through your parking lot. Is there a day I could do that that wouldn't inconvenience you? So Bob Pape and I went, we looked at our calendar on the office, on the wall, and we looked at all the dates over a two-week period, and we said, okay, he can't do this day because this is going on. He can't do this day. But we gave him, our wadi was full. We gave him lots of other days. You can do it on this day or this day or this day or this day or this day, man. Pick one. And he said, what about Sunday afternoon? We said, hey, as long as it's after 2 o'clock, we're not here. We don't care. So last Sunday, starting at 2, they brought those houses in, right? They brought them in, going to put them up on the foundations. Not a problem to us. We're not inconvenienced. I don't have to see it. I don't have to look at it. I'm not here. Then the rain came. A amazingly. The rains fell all week and the wadi dried up. They can't get the machinery onto the property. They're afraid it's going to sink in. He's going to end up having a third basement if they put a crane on that property, so they got to wait for it to dry out. So we come to this week and the houses are still sitting there in the parking lot. Maybe you noticed them this morning. I got to tell you, as we went through this week and we got closer and closer to the spring brunch and closer to Sunday morning, our wadi started to dry up. All of a sudden, we had to see them. All of a sudden, they were an inconvenience for us. All of a sudden, generosity got harder. Trust me when I tell you, the guy that owns those houses wants them on the foundations worse than we do. But he's going to need a little more time. And our wadi is a little drier than it was. And God asked, what are you going to give him now? It's easy to give when the wadi is flowing, but what will you give when the wadi runs dry? That's a hard question. It's not an easy answer, except notice what happens in the story. The widow down to her very last morsel, and Elijah says, hey, before you and your son eat, give me some first. I know your wadi's so dry, the wind has blown the dust off the riverbed, but before you eat, feed me. And she does. You know, Elijah may have gone to the valley when God sent him there, and Elijah trusted in God enough to ask for generosity in the face of scarcity, but it's the widow who takes the leap of faith. She does what Elijah asked, down to nothing, and she gives it away. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Here's the thing. God wants you to give faithfully and generously, and when you do, God blesses you and others exceedingly. But when you give out of scarcity, when you do not fear and you trust that the God of the daily bread is the God you worship, and that your wadi has run dry and you have your last bite, and then you give, miracles happen. The widow did as Elijah asked. She gave him the first of the last of what she had, and then she fed her household, and then the jar of meal and the jug of oil kept on going and kept on going. When your generosity comes from abundance, God is pleased, but when your generosity comes from scarcity, miracles occur. We're gearing up for our summer snack packs. Again, this is our eighth summer providing food for kids at Marion Park Elementary School who are on the free and reduced lunch program. We have 31 kids this summer to feed. That's more than we've ever had. When you look at everybody and their families, it's 51 people altogether. That's more than we've ever had. People needing our help. The money and the resources for this program don't come from our budget. They come from outside our budget, from our Make a Difference Fund, from donations of money and food and time from all of you. And you look, and like you, I look around and I see that our wadi is drying up. Resources are tight. The budget is stretched. And now we have to feed 31 kids for 5 months. And I know that it's scary. Some of you are so scared. You're whispering in the parking lot and in the hallways and in the classrooms where you don't think I can hear you. Why are we feeding these kids? They don't even come to our church. We need our resources for us. We only have a little meal and a little oil, and all we want to do is make a crappy little piece of bread and eat it and die. But when we give out of our scarcity, miracles happen. 2 months ago, I was at a meeting at the school with Carol, and Dustin, who's one of the administrators there, he said, what can we do to help? He said, you guys feed our kids because you do so much for our families. We want our families to pitch in. What can we do to help? And Carol and I said, you know what we could use? We could use canned goods, canned vegetables, canned fruit especially, because it's more expensive. We don't get as much of it. We could really use canned goods. canned goods? Could you do a canned food drive? And he said, yeah, I can do that. He said, I'll put out some boxes and we'll collect canned goods. And I thought, that's great. You know, that's a school of about 450, 500 kids. That's fantastic. Going to put some boxes out, going to collect some canned goods. You know, in my head, I know that 70% of the kids at that school are on the free and reduced lunch program. So I'm thinking, you know, we're going to collect like 100, 200 cans of food. That'll be great. That'll be a huge help. Thank you so much. But here's what Dustin did. Dustin doesn't just work at Marion Park. He calls me and he says, hey, I also put a box out at Hocker Grove Middle School. And I thought, well, that's great. Because you know where the kids from Hocker Grove Middle School come from? They come from Marion Park Elementary School, right? There were kids, we've been doing this for 8 years. There were kids at Hocker Grove that got food from us when they were at Marion Park. And they're going to remember that. So maybe they'll collect some more food for us. And he says, you know what else I did? I put a box out at Shawnee Mission North. And I thought, well, that's really good. Because you know where the kids at Shawnee Mission North come from? They come from Hocker Grove, who came from Marion Park. They're going to know who we are. And so he puts these boxes out and he calls me this week and he says, hey, school's going to be ending soon. I got your canned goods. I said, that's fantastic. When do you want me to come get them? He said, well, you might want me to bring them. We've got 2,000 cans collected. Wow. Yeah, we might be in the valley. And yeah, the Wadi might be getting dry. And yeah, we might be down to our last bite, but when we give, when we have little miracles happen, when our generosity comes out of scarcity, miracles happen. I know that it's scary. I know that the wadi is dry. I know we don't have much meal left in the jar. I know we don't have much oil left in the jug, and I'm worried about that too, but that doesn't mean we aren't faithful. That doesn't mean we aren't generous. That doesn't mean we aren't confident that the God that we sing to and pray to and worship and serve isn't the God of the daily bread, the God of the everlasting jar of meal, the God of the everlasting jug of oil. Because we know that, because we give even when the wadi is dry, because we give from scarcity,